Greetings to the Path family. Our slogan at the Path is meeting you where you are. We invite you to follow, share, and check us out on social media. You may connect with us at any time, anywhere, on Facebook at The Path Church or Instagram and Twitter at Join the Path. Without further delay, enjoy this week's sermon.
All right. Well, I have some good news as well. Not only do we have two new brothers in Christ, we do have a new member that has just moved to Atlanta, my very own grandmother, Cruz Isabel, better known as Tata. Stand up, Tata, stand up. This is our sister in Christ, and just drove her up on the U-Haul yesterday. So make sure you get some good fellowship with her. All right. So we are going to continue our series, Invitation to the Miraculous, because when we say yes to God's invitation, then we're able to step out of the mundane and the mediocre and step into the miraculous in our journey with Christ. Now, I don't know about you, but this is a time of year where we get a lot of invitations. So I want to ask you, how many invitations have you received for this holiday season? How many events have you already said you're going to? If you are not familiar with our Mentimeter, go ahead and log on to menti.com. And all you do is sign in with the code there, 7691-0303. And what we like to do is just get engagement from you all. We want to hear from you all. YouTube, we want to hear from you, so go ahead and log on and follow along in our Mentimeter presentation. How many invitations have you received already this holiday season? Yeah, we got some busy folks. Okay, the top 3 to 5, 1 to 2. I was hearing folks talking about all the meetings, extra meetings and celebrations you got at work that are going on. The church has stuff going on, friends, and we got white elephant. Gift exchanges and all kinds of stuff. Okay, yeah, I figured. We are busy. We are busy. So, it is our Christmas service. And so we like to remember that, you know, Jesus is the reason for the season, right? And so, you know, I'm going to talk a little bit about a part of the story that sometimes gets left out. The part before Jesus was born, you know, John was born. And so I want to talk a little bit about what they went through as they looked forward to the birth of John the Baptist, all right? So Luke chapter 1. Before we go there to that next scripture, you know, I want to encourage you. We got a lot of invitations, but we want to say yes to God's invitation, right, to the miraculous. So today the message, the sermon, the title of my message is Click yes. All right, so whenever you get that invitation in the email for the next event, I know you look at it. It says yes, it says maybe, and it says no. Got all the details on there that you need, where it's located, even how to give gifts. And I know we look at our calendar and be like, I don't know if I can make it or I'm excited to. But when we get that invitation from Jesus, let's go ahead and click yes. Okay. We're going to look at a couple of situations here in the scriptures where they got an invitation from God into the miraculous. So let's look in Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 5. We're going to read that together. When Herod was king of Judea, there was a Jewish priest named Zechariah. He was a member of the priestly order of Abijah, and his wife Elizabeth was also from the priestly line of Aaron. Zechariah and Elizabeth were righteous in God's eyes, careful to obey all of the Lord's commandments and regulations. They had no children because Elizabeth was unable to conceive, and they were both very old. Okay, so you got a couple here, Zechariah and Elizabeth, great disciples of the Lord. They were looked highly upon by God, which is the most important, but they had a thorn. They couldn't conceive. They couldn't have children. And you know, what I realize is that we all have something. We all have something that we're working through. Nobody is perfect. We all are broken. And for them, that thorn was the fact that they were not able to conceive, even though they were righteous in God's eyes, even though they were careful to obey all of the Lord's commandments and regulations. And still, you would think, God, come on. This couple right here, if anybody deserves to be able to have children and let their legacy live on, it should be this couple. And yet, though they were not able to conceive, they were still faithful to God. In verse 8, we keep reading here. It says, one day Zechariah was serving God in the temple. So he was committed. He was serving. And for his order was on duty that week. As was the custom of the priests, he was chosen by lot. So it was a random occurrence to see who could enter the sanctuary of the Lord and burn incense. While the incense was being burned, a great crowd stood outside praying. Okay, so we'll stop right there. So just so you know a little bit about the culture here, there were about 20,000 priests in this time. Okay, so him being chosen to serve in the temple was really a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. It was an opportunity for him to be able to go in and burn incense. And you could only burn incense once in your life. So you could think about, as a priest, he was waiting for this moment all of his life, right? And you can sense the anticipation that leading up to this moment, it's going to be my turn. And what that meant, burning incense, really meant that they would be, it's a symbol of our prayers going up to God. And so he was in charge of that. And so during that time, that's why a great crowd was praying. So they would see the billow of smoke from the incense rise, right? And that'd be the symbol that their prayers are going up to God. So if you get chosen to be in that position, what would you pray about? You're in this unique space with God. You've consecrated yourself, right? You've confessed what you had to confess. You've gotten yourself as spiritual as you can for this moment in your life. What would you be praying for? The people were outside. They were offering unspoken prayer of thanksgiving and gratitude during that time. And it was during that time, we're going to keep reading in verse 11, that Zechariah had a special encounter in the sanctuary. Verse 11, while Zechariah was in the sanctuary, an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing to the right of the incense altar. Zechariah was shaken and overwhelmed with fear when he saw him. But the angel said, don't be afraid, Zechariah. God has heard your prayer. Your wife, Elizabeth, will give you a son, and you are to name him John. You will have great joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the eyes of the Lord. He must never touch wine or other alcoholic drinks. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before his birth, and he will turn many Israelites to the Lord their God. He will be a man with the spirit and power of Elijah. He will prepare the people for the coming of the Lord. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and he will cause those who are rebellious to accept the wisdom of the godly. So this angel shows up, Gabriel, and he says, don't be afraid. God has heard your prayer. How amazing would it be to know for a fact that God has heard our prayers? I don't know about you, but there's been times in my life where I'm like, God, are you listening? I've been praying this prayer for so long. Is there something I'm doing wrong that is not getting up to you? Right? In my life, what do I need to change? What do I need to fix? Do you hear my prayers? And he gets this angel to come down and say, God's heard your prayers. And he talks about how they will be able to conceive a baby boy. So obviously, this has been something they've been praying for decades on decades, to be able to have a child. And they're going to name him John. Yohanan. It ain't John. You know, that's the American name. You know, it's like Zechariah. We're going to name him John. No, it wasn't. is more Yohanan in Hebrew, which means God is gracious or God is a gracious giver. Not only that, not only are you going to have a son, but you're going to have joy and gladness. Many will rejoice. He'll be great in the eyes of the Lord. He's going to be filled with the Spirit even before he's born. He's going to turn Israelites to the Lord. He's going to be a man with the Spirit and the power of Elijah. He's going to prepare the people for the Messiah. Now, how would you respond when you got a message like that? That your prayer has been heard and your answer to that prayer is going to be even more amazing than your wildest dreams. You're not just going to have any son. You're going to have the one that's going to pave the way for the Messiah. Truly was better than expected. Everybody say, better than expected. Now that's an answered prayer, amen? How would you respond to such an intimate invitation to the miraculous? Let's see how Zechariah responded in verse 18. Zechariah said to the angel, "How can I be sure this will happen? I'm an old man now, and my wife is also well along in years." You see how he called himself old? He ain't called her old. She's just well along. That's a smart brother, right? Then the angel said, "I am Gabriel. You don't know, put some respect on my name." He says, "I stand in the very presence of God. It was he who sent me to bring you this good news. But now, since you didn't believe what I said, you will be silent and unable to speak until the child is born. For my words will certainly be fulfilled at the proper time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah to come out of the sanctuary, wondering why he was taking so long. When he finally did come out, he couldn't speak to them. Then they realized from his gestures and his silence that he must have seen a vision in the sanctuary. When Zechariah's week of service in the temple was over, he returned home. Soon afterward, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and went into seclusion for 5 months. "How kind the Lord is," she exclaimed. "He has taken away my disgrace of having no children." He made Zechariah be silent for 10 months, 40 weeks. That's a long time. Some of us can't be quiet for 10 minutes. We played a silent game in the car on road trips just trying to get our kids to be quiet. It's hard. Hard to be quiet. He had to be quiet all that time. Now, I don't know about you, but I think about this kind of stuff. Like, how was he when he came home, Darius? I'm sure you can do a whole skit on that. You know, he walks home. She wants to know, "How'd it go? How'd it go? This was your day. What do you mean? Why ain't you talking? You know. Why aren't you telling me how it went, Zechariah?" "Oh, now you don't want to talk to me, huh? Now you done got too big for your bridge. You done went into and then did the incense and you don't want to talk to me. What you mean you can't talk? You can't talk." It'd be funny. The Bible's like funny to me sometimes. So any married folks, can you imagine your spouse being silent for that long? Some y'all shouldn't be smiling like that. Some of y'all smiling, excited about that. Hold up. Some of y'all happy. But what was the purpose? God, why? Why'd you have to punish this man like that? Why? What was the purpose? It was almost like God was saying, if you don't have something faithful to say, don't say anything at all. It's almost like Zechariah just needed some time to listen. Something greater than him was happening. In a few months, Mary would conceive as well and would be visiting them. I wonder if God knew, like, Mary can't, she really can't deal with a man that lacks faith right now. We gonna make sure he's quiet. Because this is too important right now for us to be doubting. If you don't have anything faithful to say, just don't say nothing at all. Let's keep reading in verse 26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, just like Zechariah was, right? Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Now get this. Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I'm a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age." People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived the son and is now in her sixth month. "For the word of God will never fail." It was almost like that needed to be a preparation for Mary to also have that faith. "Oh, by the way, you know Elizabeth, she's pregnant." Mary responded, I love this, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And then the angel left her. See, now, Mary asked the same question, y'all. How did Mary get preferential treatment? I know she's going to be the mother of Jesus and all, but she asked the same question. She said, how is this going to happen? So why doesn't she have to be silent? I looked at that, and I thought it was the same question as well. I looked into the Greek, and the question is actually slightly different. In the Greek, when Zechariah asked, "How can I be sure this will happen?" he's actually asking, like, "How will I know this for certain?" What he does is he uses the same word twice. So it reads more like, "How will I know that I know?" Or like, "How will I be certain that I'm going to be certain?" And then he states the problem. "I'm old, my wife, that's the issue," right? Mary's question is much more simple. She literally just says, like, "How can this be? How can this happen?" And then she states the issue, which she's a virgin. See, what I've learned is that there's always going to be an issue if there's going to be a miracle, right? Miracles don't happen when everything is, when there's nothing to conquer, nothing to overcome. Like, the reason it's a miracle is because Elizabeth can't have babies. The reason it's a miracle is because Mary's a virgin. Sometimes we look at our issues and we just look at them as issues as opposed to an opportunity for the miraculous. See, Zechariah's question was asked in skeptical unbelief. Mary's question was asked in wonder-filled faith. Zechariah's like, "How am I going to know that I know that I know? What are you going to do? How are you going to show me, God?" We're well along in years. The convicting thing is that Zechariah knew that God could already do this. He was a priest. He knows about Abraham and Sarah. They all did. That's already happened. Nobody's ever given birth as a virgin. You understand that? Like, Mary should have been the skeptical one. Zechariah should have been the faithful one because it's already happened. Try to think about why. Why the difference? You ever think about that in your life? Where do I stand when God invites me into the miraculous? Do I respond with skeptical unbelief or wonder-filled faith? Now, I've been on both sides. I'll tell you that right now. I can look at my younger days, like Mary. Many believe she was a teenager, filled with faith. God can do anything. Okay, yeah, I'm the Lord's servant. Zechariah had been through some things. How many times has he prayed that prayer? How many times have they tried to conceive? How many times had he been disappointed? See, I don't know about you, but the longer we are in the faith, the more opportunities there are when our prayers don't get answered the way we want them to get answered. When we're disappointed with God, when we feel like, why, God? Especially when we're faithful like Zechariah and Elizabeth were. God, I'm going to continue to do what's right. I'm still serving. Give me an opportunity to serve. I'm going to be righteous. I'm going to continue to do what's right. Surely you're going to be faithful, God, to me. And yet Mary just had not been jaded yet. Now, she would be. She would have her own struggles in life. But I think that's why it's so important to have younger people in our lives and younger people in the faith to just say, yeah, let's do it. God can do anything. Let's go for it. You know what's convicting is sometimes we put limits on other people because there are limits. There are disappointments. And then we don't even give other people a chance to be invited into the miraculous because our faith isn't there. And I think that's why God may have told Zechariah, nah, there's too much at stake. You know, I got to introduce you to Kyle here. And my faith was built up by his faith as he was being invited to the miraculous. Because for him, it wasn't like, well, how am I supposed to believe this? How do I know for sure that Jesus wants me to give this up? Or how do I know for sure that Jesus wants me to follow him? Like, nah, you're going to have to show me more scripture. You're going to have to tell me more about this. It was more like, well, okay, how do I make Jesus Lord? It's interesting because we would be studying the Bible and we would be talking about lordship or talk about something and he would say, okay, I got a question. I'm in a relationship. How am I supposed to handle that? And you can ask that a couple of ways. I'm in a relationship. How you want me to handle that? Or I'm in a relationship like he asked, how am I supposed to handle that with Jesus being Lord? This past week, I had a meeting early in the morning. I had a lot of stuff to do. It was a busy, busy day. And Kyle hits me up and says, hey, me and my girlfriend would love to talk to you. Deja had met her before, and we want to get help with our relationship. I said, okay, well, can you come by campus? I'm like, well, I can do a phone call, or we can meet tomorrow, because it was Tuesday and Wednesday. I'm going to be on campus anyway. So I'm thinking, he'd be like, yeah, let's do a call or whatever. He says, well, can we do it in person today? Because Deja's going out of town tomorrow, and we really want to get help with our relationship. I said, I'll be there in 30 minutes. Because he was ready. I sat down with him and Deja, and we just talked about what it's like to make Jesus Lord of their relationship. And now Deja has been studying the Bible. She's on her journey with Christ as well, and she's studying with Tadeja and my wife, Christina, and growing in her faith from, and now she's from California. I love that. The other time we were talking about lordship, and he goes, wait, hold up, I got a question. I'm a content creator, Swiper K, on TikTok and Instagram. I got 11,000 followers. How am I supposed to do that as a Christian? Because all of my stuff isn't very Christ-like. We didn't have to bring it up. And every time he said that, Kyle, and I don't know if you noticed, every time he said that, I was like, you're asking all the right questions. And I wonder, are we asking the right questions the right way? Especially as we get well along in years. Do we still just ask, how is this going to happen, God? Tell me, make it clear. I want to be in step with you. Show me the way, Lord. Or do we ask, how are we going to do this? You're Chase laughing. How are you going to do this, God? I don't know about that. How do you respond when you're invited to the miraculous? you know, there's a lot more in store that God wants to do in 2023. I know we had some great victories this year. I know it's been amazing. We've seen the miraculous. But the reason why we can't stop dreaming is because God is bringing more and more people who hadn't been part of what the video we just saw about 2022. So if we stop dreaming, then how do they get a chance to witness the miraculous? If we just say, well, we got this amazing building in the pandemic and you won't believe what all happened and all the baptism we had and the miracles that we saw. Okay, let's take a break. We can do that. But then it wouldn't be fair to those that are coming after us, the next generation that wants to be mobilized, to be invited into the miraculous. You know, the beautiful thing is that Zechariah did come around. He did come around. It took him almost a year. But when it was time for John to be born, they did the usual Jewish custom on the eighth day, take him to the temple so he can be circumcised. And everybody was like, you should name him Zechariah. You got to name him Zechariah. And Elizabeth was like, no, like, he's going to be named John. And they were like, what do you think, Zechariah? And he's like, no, it actually says that he took out, got a writing tablet, not like our tablets now, like actual tablet. And he wrote down, he will be named John. And at that moment, he was able to talk again. At that very moment, he had lived out his faith, and he was in another place. You know, sometimes as older Christians, we just need some time to process. We just need some time to listen to God. Okay, give me a little time. I'm going to work through it. I know I want to be a part, God. I want to respond. I want to click yes. Let me just leave it, you know, unread or flag it so I can come back to that email. Let me check my calendar. Let me see how we can make this happen. I need to pray. I need to hear from you, Lord, but I'm going to click yes. And ultimately, Zechariah did click yes. And the first thing he did, you know what the first thing he did was? Praise God. The first things out of his mouth were just praises to God. And he closes out with this prophecy in verse 67, and that's where we will close out today, and we'll head into our communion portion of our service. This is what he says. It says, then his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and gave this prophecy. Praise the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has visited and redeemed his people. He has sent us a mighty Savior from the royal line of his servant David, just as he promised through his holy prophets long ago. Now we will be saved from our enemies and from all who hate us. He has been merciful to our ancestors by remembering his sacred covenant, the covenant he swore with an oath to our ancestor Abraham. We have been rescued from our enemies so we can serve God without fear in holiness and righteousness for as long as we live. And you, my little son, will be called the prophet of the Most High because you will prepare the way for the Lord. You will tell his people how to find salvation through forgiveness of their sins. Because of God's tender mercy, the morning light from heaven is about to break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death and to guide us to the path of peace. John grew up and became strong in spirit, and he lived in the wilderness until he began his public ministry to Israel. You know, because Zechariah finally came around, you see how he remembered Abraham in this part. He remembered Abraham. He came around. He got a chance to be part of the miraculous. You see, the miraculous was happening either way. He could be a part of it, or he could not. God's going to do his thing either way, y'all. He just gives us an opportunity to respond to his invitation by clicking. By clicking. Will we click yes for the miraculous wonders he has in store for us in 2023? Will we? Come on now. Let's click yes. All right, what we're going to do now is take communion. This is a time in our service we get to remember Jesus, not only his birth, but his life, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. If you have not received a communion cup, please raise your hand and our host team will get that to you. Okay. Go ahead and raise your hand and you will get a communion cup from the host team. I will say a prayer and we will all take communion together. Now, after we take communion, we should have all received a little wooden ornament. Okay. This little wooden ornament is so that during this time, we can write down one thing, one miracle we're grateful for that God has done for us in 2022. Our theme has been grateful, and so we find it fitting to go ahead and close out the year telling God how grateful we are for specific miracles. Jason has those ornaments. If you did not receive one, go ahead and raise your hand at this time. And we'll take this time to just commune with God, to pray, to think about the miracles he's done in our lives so far this year in 2022. Then what we're going to be able to do is put up these ornaments on the tree. So we'll collect them. We'll put it up on the tree. So for the next few weeks, as you all come in for service, then you will be able to see your ornament. And we'll have this as a memorial for 2022. All right, let's pray. God, we thank you so much for who you are, how much you love us. God, we are not worthy of your love. Father, it is patient and kind. It always perseveres, even through our lack of faith. God, I pray that you will forgive us for the times we respond like Zechariah did. Thank you for having mercy on us and not taking away our ability to speak. But I pray you will show us how important it is for us to identify the invitations that you make for us to be part of the miraculous, God, part of your story, your journey. God, and that we will respond the way you want us to, that we will respond like Mary responded, with just wonder-filled faith, excited to see how you will do the things you want to do in us, with us, and through us. Father, thank you for Jesus. His death, his burial, his resurrection, his birth, his life. We know that it's through him that we can take part in the miraculous with you. And at this time, I just ask, God, that you will help us and remind us of the miracles that you have done in our lives. All the miracles on miracles on miracles. A million little miracles and some pretty big ones as well. And God, that you will put on our heart that one thing, God, that we're going to write on this little ornament, God, just to remember what you have done for us this year. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. New sermons are uploaded each Monday morning. Simply search The Path Church Atlanta in iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting service. Additionally, we greatly appreciate your feedback on iTunes. If you would like to learn more about The Path, we encourage you to visit www.thepath.church. We hope to fellowship with you soon.